All right, well, let's get into the sermon. So what I have for you today, Calvary Baptist, is a sermon I have preached to you previously. I'm going to re-preach a sermon for you again today, but this time I have not, I have chosen to do that not out of the need to create more time for other projects like I did a few times this past fall or any reason like that. I've chosen to re-preach this sermon intentionally today because I think that now is the right time for us to hear these words again. It's been on my mind for a number of weeks to do this here on this day, day number one of small groups. As most of you know, we're in the middle of this thing I've been calling the Calvary Remodel Project, changing a few things around here, and the centerpiece of those changes, is what we're launching here today in this small group program. It's a substantial change for us, one that we're hoping for all of you to be a part of, and I am certain that God has called us to this and that he's going to use it to make us a healthier, more connected church family than we have been in the past. There are other parts of this remodel, too. You'll remember some facility and equipment upgrades, like some of which has been done on the powerhouse already, more to come. We're getting close to buying a bus. We have some good options now, so that's coming soon. Some of the remodel project is about changing how I do my job. That also is still in process. But the biggest part of this whole project begins today with these small groups. And so in some respects, this today feels to me like day number one of the next phase of Calvary Baptist Church. The sermon I'm about to re-preach to you is one that I wrote and delivered here just 4 months after I began as your pastor in 2013. So this was preached originally back when we were in the beginning of another new phase of Calvary Baptist Church, coming as your pastor. And it's appropriate to preach it again here as we enter into the second new phase today. I actually opened up this sermon on my computer a number of weeks ago because I was searching for some Bible verses that I knew that I had used in that, and I skimmed through the sermon again, and it really struck me. Some of what I wrote in the sermon, and you'll hear it in a bit, was about things I was worried back then as a brand new pastor, things that I was worried might happen at Calvary, and I was warning us against those things. And as I read those words again now, 4.5 years later, it's clear that some of the things I was worried about definitely happened. You see, we've had our fair share of conflict at Calvary since I arrived as your pastor. Now, a lot of times people aren't aware of these kinds of things if they're not serving on the elder board, which is our deacon board here. So you may have been around this whole time and not really been aware of the situations as they happened. Or, of course, you might be newer here and not aware that there has been conflict. But frankly, we've had a lot. And I would think that if you have been around here since the beginning of my arrival, you have to figure that something has happened, because back when I originally preached this sermon, we were averaging 80 to 90 people here on a Sunday morning, and now we're averaging somewhere in the range of 55 to 65. Some people moved away, of course, and some left for miscellaneous reasons, but a good share left due to conflict situations. Now, conflict with each other is inevitable. It's part of life. The key is in how we handle conflict, right? When it arises. And the Bible has a lot to say on that topic. And the sermon I preached back then contained the biblical principles on handling conflict. Maybe I'll just say this. If somehow that particular group of 80 to 90 people that was Calvary Baptist Church back when I first preached this sermon, that group of people were to be evaluated on how we did as a group on these biblical principles on conflict, I don't think we would receive a very good grade in that evaluation. That's not to say that there weren't some real strong efforts along these lines made by many people. Of course there were. But overall, I don't think our group grade would be all that great. Now, I'm not going into this for the purpose of assigning blame. None of us are perfect in these things, including myself. Handling conflict is challenging for all of us. You know, I was going to say this and then I didn't, but I cut it and then I'm going to say it anyway, although I didn't ask permission, but I think it'll be okay. You know, Anna hates conflict. She's much better at it than she used to be. When we first got married, we went through a Taco Bell drive-thru and they gave us the wrong food. And I realized it, you know, we had just pulled ahead and looked in, and I realized it, and I'm like, oh, I got to go back in. They gave us the wrong stuff. She's like, no, just go. She's that scared of conflict. She did not want that conversation to take place. She's gotten better at it. But my point of that is that handling conflict is hard for all of us. It's a challenge. My motivation in re-preaching this sermon today is to encourage us, this group now that represents who Calvary Baptist Church is today. The reason for preaching this is to encourage us to do this stuff better together as we move forward into this next phase of our church. We're a fairly small church now, Calvary. Frankly, we cannot afford to not do these things well. We need to really learn how to stick together and love each other through conflict. We need to seriously take note of these principles contained in Scripture that I'll bring to you in the sermon here today. Each one of us, we need to do this. You'll be discussing these things in your small groups this week. I'd ask you to please fill out the paper that we just handed out here for you. And, you know, take it home with you. Refer to it again and again. Let's really absorb this stuff and work it into our lives. The title of the sermon that I'm going to re-preach for you this morning is called Rules of Engagement. It's time for us to think about these things again. Okay, so from here on out, I'm going to preach it just as I did back then. I haven't really even changed the words very much, maybe just a few. So this will now be me speaking 4.5 years ago. All right? Let's begin. Well, these days when you want to announce a life change, something new going on in your life, many of us do that on Facebook. So when you invited me to become your pastor last spring, I waited a week or two, and then I went on Facebook and announced it. And of course, I changed the part where I work and where I live, and I received a good number of congratulatory messages after that, and it was exciting. One of the notes that I received at that time was from a man who had been the music pastor at my church when I was in high school. My dad was actually the senior pastor, so he was working under my dad as music pastor. This man went on to become a senior pastor himself. He's not a pastor now, although he's still involved in ministry. Anyway, his Facebook congratulatory note to me said this: "Congratulations, Eric. Call me when the honeymoon is over." A rather ominous congratulatory message from this former pastor. Now, I don't share his pessimism, if that's what it was, about ministry. However, I do think there's an element of reality in his comment. On my first Sunday last May, the house was full. There was excitement in the air. We talked about what the next chapter of Calvary Baptist Church was going to look like, and then we got into a big circle and we held hands and we said, "This is our church," and we cheered. Lots of optimism, lots of rosy thoughts. Okay, so jump into the future a few months. Let's say there is some aspect of the life of the church that is important to you, or maybe a theological stance that you have that's important to you, and one day you discover that the new pastor does not feel the same way that you do about that subject. Oh, no! Now what are we going to do? And you know, depending on just how important that thing is to you, that could be a big deal. That could be a very difficult thing for you. And now some of that optimism that you felt in the first Sunday is wearing off a little bit. Things aren't quite as rosy as they were. Real life is setting in. It doesn't have to be about me either. Perhaps you were in that circle holding hands with everyone on my first Sunday and feeling really great about your church family, and then a few weeks later you're in a church committee and someone ends up taking that committee in a whole different direction than what you wanted it to go in, and you're miffed. You think it's just not right and it's bugging you. Or worse yet, Someone in the church says something to you that really offends you or hurts your feelings, and the rosiness and the optimism of that first Sunday begin to pale. The title of my sermon today is Rules of Engagement. The title has nothing to do with the recent movie or TV show by that name. I've not seen either of those. Rules of Engagement is a military term. It outlines for the military, if they are in a potentially hostile situation, the behaviors they can take and the behaviors that are not they are not allowed to take if a conflict arises. So this is the rules of the road for them in a conflict situation. I want to look together with you today at the rules the Bible gives us regarding being in church family together, rules of engagement. Now, Pastor, that seems a little overdramatic. I mean, it's not like going to church is going to war. It's like going to war, is it? Sure hope it doesn't feel like going to war. Should be the polar opposite. So, yeah, okay, maybe it's a little overdramatic, but let me ask you this. When you were growing up in your family, did you ever occasionally battle with your siblings or with your parents? Hopefully you weren't in a real dysfunctional family where those things were happening all the time. Some of you were, I know. But I think even in healthy families where people love each other, these battles happen now and then, right? You go through times of conflict. Doesn't mean you don't love them, but you have conflict. I think it's the same way in a church family. It's part of being human, our human fallibility. So maybe battle is not a completely inappropriate term to be using here when discussing what might come from time to time as part of living in this church family together. And then add into the mix that we have an enemy. I'm so excited to be part of this church body. There are so many talented, dedicated people here, people committed to God and to advancing his work, people ready to serve. You have already been a force for good in this community, and I believe that God is going to do great things through us in the days ahead. Well, guess what? Our enemy is aware of that too. And I'll interject here to remind you that this was all spoken back in September of 2013, continuing on. Our enemy is going to be wanting to do anything he can to mess this up for us, to make us ineffective. Now, there are probably a good number of strategies he could take, but the one that comes to my mind, first and foremost, is that he might try to play on our human nature and cause us to get into conflict with each other, to drive a wedge between us, to have individuals within our church body get upset at other individuals so that there are hard feelings that hinder our ability to work together with common purpose. He would love to do this, I have no doubt. This is a real danger for us, I wrote back then. And I do not want this to happen, so I ask us today, let's take a look at some of the rules of engagement for living together within this church body. I need to give you three just super quick additional statements of intro here before we start in on the rules. First off, you may be tempted, and this still applies today, you may be tempted as you are sitting out there this morning to think that I'm writing this sermon about you or about one particular situation that you are aware of or involved in, and you are probably going to be both right and wrong. I might have that situation in mind, but where you're going to be wrong is in the thinking that it's the only situation I have on my mind. You know, this sermon was on my list of things to preach about before I even got here. It's an important word for any church. But part of the reason I chose to address this now is that I am aware of conflict situations in our church. And again, it's not a big surprise. Conflict's part of human life. But I want you to know right now that you're not being singled out today. There's a fair amount of this kind of stuff going on, and I think that we need to agree together on how to approach situations of conflict. So this sermon is not about you. This sermon is about us. And about listening to what Scripture has to say about these kinds of things. Second introductory point. What if you don't go to this church? Well, if you are a Christ follower, then this sermon is for you too. You just take these things home to your normal church setting. But what if you are neither a Calvary person nor a Christ follower? Well, first I want to say you are very welcome here. And second, I'm going to ask you to pay attention to this sermon anyway. I'll have a question for you near the end. And the final thought before we dig in here is this. This message is just as much for me as it is for anyone. We all need to hear these things and be reminded of them. All right, so here we go. Get your pens ready. First rule of engagement for us is to remember the biblical instruction to love. To really love. To really love everybody. First rule of engagement is to remember the biblical instruction to love, to really love, and to really love everybody. The command to love God and to love other human beings is as close as you can possibly get to the very heart of what Christianity is. It's about love. And a lot of times we think about, you know, when we talk about loving people out there in the community. Today, though, I want to ask you, do you love in here? Do you really love? Do you really love everybody in here? Is it genuine? Let's take a look at a couple of Bible verses. The first is from 1 John 3:11. This is the message you heard from the beginning. We should love one another. A rule of engagement. How about another verse we're very familiar with, Luke 6:31. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. The idea that we ought to treat others in the way that we would like to be treated brings to mind another one of these important things I want to get across to you today. Please hear me on this. Part of loving each other is believing in each other. In fact, we could rephrase that entire first rule in that direction. It might help us to think about this in a even more effective way. We need to remember to believe in each other. I would contend that every human being was created to be a prince or a princess in the kingdom of God. Each human being. We were created for nobility and honor. We were created for goodness and rightness and love. We were created to be in a close, loving relationship with our Creator and with our fellow human beings. I believe that's who we really are on the inside. That's our true selves. Now, some people go through life and they get connected with God. And as we allow Him to lead us, these aspects of our true character come to life. We demonstrate more and more over time who we are, who we were originally intended to be apart from the fall of mankind. And it's a beautiful thing. Other people reject God, and over time, their true selves become corroded and withered. Many people do make a decision for Christ, and there's a big part of them that's trying to do right. And so some of these godly parts within them grow, but they also maybe keep one foot in the world. Or they're not pursuing God as avidly as they should, and this stuff leads to destruction, or at least slow growth. Slowing the process of becoming who they were created to be. But I believe that every human being was created to be a prince or a princess in the kingdom of God. And because I believe this to be true, I can look at every single person, no matter how little they look like a prince or a princess, and I can always say, I believe in you. I believe in you because I know what is in you. I know what you were created for. And it's still there, even if it is buried down deep. I'll always believe in you, even if you keep showing me evidence to the contrary. It's part of loving each other. How can you love someone without believing that that person at their core is good? Now, this doesn't mean that we never have conversations with that person, confronting them on their bad behavior or that sometimes boundaries need to be set, but it does mean that we never stop loving people and we never stop believing in them. And we need to do this for each other here. Everyone in here, we always need to be able to say it and mean it. I believe in you. It's part of treating each other how we would like to be treated. Because you know what? If you ever got yourself into a situation where you really, really messed up, I can tell you what you will get from the church, generally speaking. Some people in the church will look at you and say, I will never believe in you again. and they'll write you off. Shouldn't happen that way, but it's common. And then you'll run into a few precious Christ followers who will say to you, you know, I don't condone the behavior, but I still believe in you. I believe in your ultimate goodness and who God is making you to be. If you ever get yourself into that type of situation, those people will be like a drink of cold water in the desert. You would want to have people like that around you if you messed up big. You would need people who still believed in you. Therefore, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Believe in each other. Okay, quick mental exercise. Don't look around the room now, but mentally, let the faces of your fellow Calvary attenders float through your mind now. And as they float through, can you genuinely say about each of those people, I believe in that person. I believe in who they were created to be and who God is moving them to become. I believe in their intentions. It's what God calls us to. Yeah, Pastor Eric, but what about that one person here who just does not treat me well? Well, read Luke 6:27. But I, Jesus, say to you, love your enemies and do good to those who hate you. Well, that covers that one. You do not get a pass card from loving that person who does not treat you well here. Yeah, Eric, but what about that person at Calvary who acts all Christian-like here and then I know how they're behaving at other times in their lives? Really have a hard time with that. And there's Romans 14:13. Therefore, let us stop passing judgment on one another. Generally speaking, it is not for us to judge. It is for us to love. Again, that doesn't mean that anything goes or that that person should never be lovingly instructed or confronted in a biblical way, but you do not get a pass card from loving that person or believing in them. So let's meet people where they're at. Let's love them. Here are some other things the Bible has to say about loving each other. Ephesians 4:32, be kind and compassionate to one another. Are we doing that? Kind and compassionate. 1 Thessalonians 5:11, therefore, encourage one another and build each other up. Are you an encourager? Wes Smith comes to my mind when I read this verse. That's what I wrote back in 2013, Wes. He's an encourager, and many people here are good at that. Let's all do this for each other. John 13:14, now that I have washed your feet, you should wash one another's feet. So Jesus says, serve each other. And all that has been said thus far is part of this command to love, the first of our rules of engagement. Second rule. Heed the instructions in Scripture on how to handle conflict. Heed the instructions in Scripture on how to handle conflict. Said it before, I'll say it again. Conflict is inevitable. It's going to happen here. I'm going to want something done in a certain way, and you're going to want it done a different way. You're going to believe one thing, and someone else is going to believe something different. There will be differences of opinion on the best way to proceed in difficult situations. It's inevitable. And that's all from well-intentioned people. There are all kinds of things to disagree about in life. And we are imperfect creatures. We all do dumb things from time to time. If you're active in this church, any church, including this one, if you're active in this church, you will get your feelings hurt from time to time. It'll happen. Expect it. Be ready for it. And when it happens, say, yep, there it is. My feelings are hurt. Or, you know, I hurt someone else's feelings, and they're not thinking very happy thoughts about me right now. You know what you can do when you know that this stuff is coming and you're ready for it? You can dial down your emotions, and you can stay calm and say, yeah, there it is. I'm going to stay calm, and I'm going to look into Scripture and how I should handle this. Well, before we look at more scripture on that, let me remind you that the first thing you need to do in that conflict situation is remember rule number one, choose to love that person that you're in conflict with. Choose to keep believing in them. You might even be really angry, but make that mental shift in your mind and choose to believe in their intentions. Choose to love them through the event of that conflict. All right, very important Bible verse for us, Matthew 18, 15 to 17. If your brother or sister sins against you, go and point out their fault just between the two of you. If they listen to you, you have won them over. But if they will not listen, take one or two others along, so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. If they still refuse to listen, tell it to the church. And if they refuse to listen even to the church, treat them as you would a pagan or a tax collector. Let's put that in some other language. And this is another one of these important things I want to stress this morning. If you're having conflict with someone, don't talk about that person behind their backs. It says go directly to them. Just the two of you. Don't talk about people behind their backs. We need to have more face-to-face conversations in our church when there is conflict or when there is something bothering you. It's difficult. It's difficult to have those face-to-face conversations, but it is the right way to do it. And then I'm going to add in this comment here, and this is me speaking today now. Notice that this verse says, go and do this. It does not say, ignore that person or shun them or hide from them. It says, go and seek to reconcile. Go and engage. Okay, back to 2013, Eric, now. And don't you want others to treat you this way? I know I do. Let me make a personal appeal to you right now. If I ever do or say something that bothers you, will you please come and talk to me about it? Don't shut me out. Don't talk about me. Come and talk to me. Give me a chance to learn how what I said made you feel. Let's try to talk it out together in love and restore that relationship. Go right to the person. Well, what if the conflict that you run into isn't so much a personal situation as it is a disagreement over the direction the church is headed in, or a decision made by the church board that you don't agree with, something like that? Well, we need to remember in that kind of scenario that all of us are to be in submission to each other, it says in Scripture. This is Ephesians 5:21. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. We do not always need to get our way. And this applies to me too. Yeah, I'm the pastor, but the pastor is not the church. No individual is the church. We are the church. We have a board, we have a way of making decisions, but the board isn't even the church. We are the church, and we are not always going to agree. So each of us has to have some humility. Even if it's something that we feel strongly about, we have to remember it's not about me. I don't always have to get my way. So yeah, I'm the pastor, but I can adjust. I don't always have to get my way. We need to be in submission to each other. Now, I think we all understand that the possibility exists that a church might go down a path where they leave one of the core tenets of the faith. Not a peripheral thing, but one of the really core central teachings of Scripture, and I suggest that we're careful about what we define as a central tenet. Let's not be too strict. Let's try to be people of grace and to show love and attempt to continue in the bonds of fellowship together. But we all know the possibility exists that you could get to the point of needing to leave a church. I would hope that that is a very rare occurrence. You know, what kind of character do we show if we run from every conflict? It's good for us to have to struggle through to love those with whom we have differences. I think in most circumstances we grow more and we demonstrate more accurately the qualities of Christ when we stay and we work through it. Okay? There you go. That's been rule number two. When conflict arises, heed the instructions in Scripture on how to handle it. Final rule for today is this. Be people who forgive. Be people who forgive. This is Ephesians 4:31-32. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. Boy, we have all been forgiven so much by God. How can we withhold forgiveness from each other? If someone has hurt you, you need to get to the point of forgiveness. If someone in this church body has hurt you, you need to get to the point of forgiveness. Maybe something that happened recently or years ago doesn't matter. You need to get to the point of forgiveness. The point where you can really let it go and be free. Now, you have to ask yourself, in order to be truly free from that thing, are you going to need to talk to that person first? Do you need to clear the air? That's likely. That may be the appropriate thing. Well, go do it. Go do it. And if that's too intimidating, you know what? I am glad to meet with you and try to figure out a way to do something together. But you need to get this done. Seek healing in your relationships with your brothers and sisters here. Genuinely seek reconciliation and a return to loving relationship. You know, if you've been collecting a long list of people that you used to have relationships with because you never seek to heal those relationships when conflict arises, something's wrong then. Pursue reconciliation and a return to loving relationship, and don't wait for the other person. What can you do? Well, then, when these things are sufficiently talked through and resolved, then you have to let it go. You got to let it go and let the past go. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. Calvary, God has set us free from these things. We don't need to be in bondage to anything. So get rid of that old thing and forgive. And quickly, what if you are the person who did the wrong? Matthew 5:23-24. Therefore, if you're offering your gift at the altar and remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar and first go and be reconciled to them. Then come and offer your gift. So if you've wronged someone and you know it, go ask for their forgiveness and set it right. Rule of engagement number 3 for our church body: we need to be people who forgive. Well, I said near the beginning of the sermon that if you're sitting out there today and you're not a Christ follower, I would have a question for you at the end of all of this, and here it is. The question is this: do these rules of engagement seem right to you? Do they seem right? Does it seem right to you that people should show great love to each other, even in the face of conflict or difficult behavior, that they should continue to encourage each other and accept each other and believe in each other, that they should confront each other face-to-face rather than talking about people behind their backs, that they should forgive? You know, I'm going to take a guess that these rules do seem right to you. They may seem difficult to accomplish, but I think they seem right. I would guess that they do to you. Now, I suppose it would be easy for you just to, you know, write this off and say, well, you know, the Bible has some good moral instruction in it. But, you know, do you really think this stuff comes from human beings? Have you seen what comes from human beings? Aren't these teachings the opposite of what we see practiced in the world around us most of the time? Consider the possibility, my friend, that the reason this stuff seems so right is because these teachings from the Bible are indeed from God. And if that seems like a possibility to you, then I would ask you to start digging into this book, the Bible, more seriously than you have in the past. Dig into it. Be a seeker of truth. Please come talk to me about it. I love to talk about this stuff. Let's explore together. In conclusion, Calvary Baptist, and the 2013 conclusion will work just fine for us here today as we head into this next new phase of our church. Here it is. In conclusion, let me throw just a last few verses at you. Romans 12:16. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud. 1 Corinthians 12:25. There should be no division in the body, but its parts should have equal concern for each other. Matthew 5:9. Blessed are the peacemakers. They shall be called sons of God. We're called to be peacemakers. We're called to be reconcilers. Let's let it start right here in this church body. It starts here and then it goes out from here. Will you be an agent of peacemaking in this body of Christ, an agent of reconciliation? Will you be someone who is committed to not allowing there to be division in the body? We cannot allow the enemy to trip us up and make us ineffective. And he will continue to try to get us into conflict with each other and inflame those situations. So, do you pledge to love people here, to really love everybody? Do you promise to believe in each other? Will you follow the principles in Scripture on how to handle conflict when it arises, because it will? Are you willing to do the hard face-to-face conversations with people, seeking to fully restore that relationship rather than letting it die? Going to the person rather than talking about them behind their backs? Will you seek to forgive and heal from wounds, maybe even ones that originated long ago? Will you be an encourager? Will you submit to one another out of love? Are you committed to sticking together with this church family through thick and thin? There will be conflict. Will we rise above it? These are rules of engagement, a code of conduct for Calvary Baptist Church, rules for our loving family, a family that does not bail on each other when things get tough, a family that seeks to follow the model demonstrated to us by Jesus Christ, who never stopped loving us. I believe we can do this. Amen. Calvary Baptist Church of 2018, I believe we can do this together. Amen. And may God bless us and guide us in these things as we seek as a church body to move forward together in his will.